This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Daryl and Hanif on The Pulse, the show that brings you the latest in the music world and fresh new music.
Earlier on the show, we had a representative from Brada, a social enterprise that tries to help musicians make ends meet during the pandemic. And one of the initiatives that they are conducting right now is a bazaar called Bazaria Musica.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, it's kind of like a space for musicians to do things that, you know, they don't usually do, right?
Exactly.
And then, you know, hone in on skills that they... just picked up during the pandemic and stuff like that. So it's really nice, you know, and you get to see your musician friends.
Yeah,
again,
fellow musicians. Yeah, that's the most important part, right? I think sometimes when you're trying to cope with the pandemic and what's happening to you, it's good to have, you know, your comrades around, right?
For sure, for sure. All right, our next story is going to be on music education. This comes after a report published by the Incorporated Society of Musicians revealed that COVID-19 had a devastating impact on music education in schools. The figure that they came up with is almost 10% of primary and secondary schools are not teaching music in the UK today, with 68% of primary school and 39% of secondary school teachers stating that their music provisions have been reduced. Along with the impact on the students' music provision, the report also found that the teachers' health and well-being are being negatively impacted by the changes to the delivery of classroom and extracurricular music, and also the support they're receiving from the schools. Online meetings and online classes have really been the theme of 2020 and continues to this year. But for music education, however, you have that issue, right? You know, latency and varying internet speed makes creating an ensemble sound almost impossible, right? Exactly. It's not cohesive at all. Sometimes when we're doing normal Zoom meetings, I can't hear you, you can't hear me, there's a bit of lag. So imagine trying to do that in, you know, while playing music, while practicing music.
Exactly. Yeah, and even the sound quality is pretty bad, if I'm not mistaken. So you have to somehow, maybe if you're using Zoom, have to switch on the, like, use original audio function. So I think it's not as easy. Yeah.
Not as accessible.
Exactly.
In a way.
Yeah.
For music subjects, and I would argue even PE subjects, you know, video calls just don't cut it. But, you know, we have to make do with what we have today. And also another issue about this is, you know, taking you back to, I guess, pre-COVID-19, the music education and the concept of practicing at home, right? Mm. How many times have we heard, you know, kids complaining because they don't want to practice at home? And imagine doing it at home now as part of your class, right?
Exactly. I think it's very human for all of us to not practice at home, especially when it comes to things like this, right? Sometimes you just prefer to practice in the studio or in your classroom, right?
Or with your friends, essentially,
exactly.
Right? The pandemic has kind of amplified this issue, and the issue has crept up again, you know, through, I guess, the virtual learning that we're doing in the past year and a half. So on the line with us to give us a clearer picture of, you know, music educators and their plight is Emil Sulaiman. He's a Malaysian-born cellist who studied at the Indiana University Bloomington. He holds 2 degrees in music. He's currently working and educating the next generation of musicians at UITM and ICOM. He also performs as the principal cellist of the Selangor Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to the show, Emil. First off, introduce yourself a little bit and tell us about your experience as a full-time musician and educator.
I have been working and playing in Malaysia for about 10 years, and I spent time teaching at UITM, ICOM, International School, and Music Academy, and all the while trying to support myself as a freelance musician, playing for RTM, Astro, major artists in Malaysia, from Siti Nurhaliza, Anwar Zain.
Nice.
And once upon a time with cello rock band called Paladin.
What are the realities faced by you and your fellow practitioners as full-time musicians and educators?
With the COVID shutdown, it's been a very difficult transition. For the past 3-4 years, I've been mainly a freelance musician, subsidized with some teaching. And having zero events and zero public performances allowed has been a heavy blow to our financial income. You know, we don't have regular employers. There's no EPF set up. There's no expected gaji and salary coming in on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So Yeah. When there are events, if you get called, you have work.
Mm.
And it may last only a few days, and then you're waiting for the next call.
Yeah, it's pretty much on a project basis.
Mm-hmm. A true freelance world.
You know, throughout the last year and this year, you know, many bands have been, in a way, the big contingency plan is doing online shows, ticketed online shows, rather. Is that something you tried, or is that something that has worked for you, if you have?
Well, I haven't done an online show, but I did try live streaming for a while and finding cellists in the KL area to play with, to do duets and like live streaming,
mm-hmm.
and taking requests. So if you had a request, and you offered a small, you know, PayPal donation or incentive, then, you know, that was one way. But with the internet age, a lot of people aren't really inclined to do that when they can go to YouTube or Spotify. So that's a little bit tricky. Incentivized concerts are nice, but if you don't have the right reach, it's difficult to really generate a lot of income from that.
The pandemic has put the world on pause, Amil. So in your opinion, what are the different ways, or rather, what is needed for arts to continue to grow?
The arts in general, I've kind of felt that they could use a lot more support from patrons, from people or bodies that could contribute to, you know, the infrastructure of these organizations. And lately, with the pandemic, a lot of them just simply are not continuing.
Right.
And with the number of concerts that do happen, most of them are not even that well attended.
Mm.
When revenue is earned from ticket sales, it takes a lot of patrons to compensate for the amount of people and manpower that it takes to really put on a full orchestra performance.
Funding is
so
the number one issue.
I hope that there's plans in the future to re-bolster the Malaysian orchestra programs and for the independent orchestra groups to get the kind of support that they need to thrive and succeed. The most notable ones in orchestras in Malaysia right now that I know of are the Malaysian Philharmonic and the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yep.
And the last few concerts before the shutdown, I don't believe they had sold out tickets.
Yeah, right. You know, even pre-pandemic, the interest in the arts, and especially classical arts, orchestras, ensembles, that sort of thing, have been dwindling. Amil, what would you attribute this to?
Good question. If we look at it from maybe the source, it could potentially be that academically, parents are asking their children to focus more on the STEM subjects, science, math, engineering, that kind of sort of thing.
Right.
And there's a push towards technology, but, you know, the analog approach of creating music isn't quite as valued as highly because it's not something that's tested on and needing those grade reports. So I think a way to support future orchestra programs and music incentives in the creative arts industry would be to put a heavier emphasis on arts and music in elementary school, middle school, and all across the board, from public to private, making those subjects a core requirement instead of an elective.
Yeah,
get them young. Mm. Create an affection for music. Mm. Instill those beliefs when they're young.
Mm.
Not only has benefits for the arts and creative industry, but there's many, many, many research that has been taking place that states that arts and music education is crucial to the development of, you know, young minds, and that all the music and learning and arts disciplines will help support their other academic achievements.
If there is an upside of the pandemic, is that many are using the lull time to pick up new skills. Tell us about some of the ideas and efforts that you've done personally to enhance your craft.
I have attempted to learn how to use digital audio workstation.
Okay.
Because that's completely new to me. Music programming and sequencing. I come from a traditional background of music, which is, you know, read music, perform music, maybe very rarely doing any improvising.
Mm.
So to migrate into this digital world, you know, I've been trying to learn how to do digital audio workstation, you know, navigation and recording, trying to learn some video editing skills, learning how to use my camera to take better videos, and trying to adapt to the digital world and market.
How's that been working out for you?
I feel I've learned a new skill, but on the other hand, despite all my work and effort, there's not a lot of monetary return directly from it. I'm not selling singles, and I haven't created my own unique, original music. So that income is very... I do it more to make sure that I'm keeping my skills up. I'm trying to develop myself and show that I'm still somewhat active.
That's great. Talking a bit about the new normal and, you know, when your classes and orchestra do get back practicing, do you foresee there'll be some catching up to do in terms of playing as a group?
Absolutely. There's always a retransition period, if you will. I mean, when you're with people, the vibe is better. You get instant feedback. You can read their body language. There's no delay in audio, which is a very, very real issue that musicians and even people who are teaching online are having to struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, the teacher's counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and they hear it a few seconds later.
Yeah.
So trying to sync up and play duets or play together is something that is extremely difficult to do. So I think the chance to play together is going to be so much better when people are face-to-face.
Agreed.
Rather than remote.
Lastly, what are your hopes for the future for the arts education, Amil? What's the way forward?
I really would like to see it grow and thrive and, you know, come back, like rewatering a plant that slowly withered, but it's not dead yet. There are artists who are being creative. There are people putting projects out. There are people making films and TV, and they all need music. I think would love to see great support from government entities and big corporations who want to support music and artists and individuals who continue to have the dream of keeping this sort of industry alive. And knowing that it's not just for, you know, YouTube views and the individuals trying to stroke their ego, but there is real richness that contributes to all levels of humanity. There's not a TV show that you could put on which doesn't have music, which enhances the mood, that gives you goosebumps. And I want to see that happen for the industry, for Malaysia, and for Southeast Asia to be recognized for the quality of musicians and musicianship that comes from here.
That was Amil Sulaiman, a musician and educator, giving us his thoughts on music education in times of the pandemic. We'd like to hear from you. Have you been doing music classes or lessons online? Has it worked out for you? Has the, you know, network lag and that kind of stuff annoyed you? Do let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio on Twitter or WhatsApp 01878988899. You're locked into The Pulse. Coming up, we have our By The Way segment, but first up, we have a fresh new number.
Yeah, a fresh new number from one of the most productive bands on earth, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. This is East West Link, fresh from their latest album, LW. This is The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.